Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks. Hope you're having a wonderful week. I hope you had a really good holiday. Britt and I had a really nice time. We stayed home. I went fishing, played with the pups, just overall had a really nice time. And most importantly, my Florida Gators softball team is going to the World Series, and I'm super, super pumped. So anyway, if you're into softball, definitely want to watch. It is going to be a heck of a tournament. Oh, but anyway, I will get way off on softball if I keep going down that path. I am by myself today. That's okay because I have a listener question. And then I've got a few things I just want to kind of talk about, a little hodgepodge of a few things. Before I get started, have you signed up for my newsletter? If you've not signed up for the newsletter, you are missing out. Lots of really good information out there, videos, training advice, fun stuff. I typically send out the newsletter once a week, and we will never sell your information to anyone. So if you've not signed up, you can go to the website. It's in the show notes. There's a sign up link also in the show notes. So be sure that you get on that list. And if you are listening to the podcast and you've been enjoying it, it will take you maybe 10 to 20 seconds if you can rate and review wherever you listen. It helps me to reach more listeners. And our goal here is to teach people that positive reinforcement training is the way to go, the only way to go. And that there is no reason to be using aversive techniques, and don't be sending your dog off to board and train and those types of programs. You need to be a part of learning with your dog. It is a relationship, and we want to help you guys build that relationship. Today, I am going to talk about a foster dog with no impulse control, and then I'm going to talk about if you are playing with your dog correctly, or are you even playing with your dog? Are you having fun with your dog? That should probably be the question. Are you having fun with your dog? And is your dog having fun with you? Because any relationship has to have some fun. And that was something I made a point of this weekend to do with Britt, because we've not had a lot of opportunities for just having fun. And so we did something that was fun together, and it really does make a huge difference. Okay, let's start with listener question. If you have any questions and you would like your question answered on the podcast, you can send us an email at info@dogspeak101.com and just put in the subject line listener question. I love listener questions because it helps me sometimes find the rabbit hole I need to go down to help you guys understand. This one comes from Katie, and she is in upstate New York. So Katie says, "Hi, I'm a longtime listener, and you've done so much to help me with my relationship with my dog, as well as several foster dogs, including taking a previous listener question from me." Always love listener questions. I do want to apologize to Katie because she sent this question back in April, mid-April, and I'm not even sure if you still have the foster. I apologize for not getting to this sooner. So either way, there's going to be some information you're going to get out of this. The rescue I'm working with currently has a wonderful, happy, energetic dog who is very much struggling with impulse control and mouthiness. He's between 1 and 2 years old and came in off the street, so no known history. He is a very big and strong pit bull mix, over 80 pounds and tall. He loves people but has no inhibition and will jump, paw at, and nibble nonstop. If you show him any attention at all, he tries to play with you like you're another big dog. His foster mom is covered in scratches and bruises, and he's torn his foster family's clothing. He has never bitten anyone, but those big paws and teeth are always in the mix. Unfortunately, at this point, most of his time spent with his foster parents is time spent being corrected or ignored. We've tried the basics, reward him for being calm, but the act of rewarding or acknowledging at all amps him up. Verbal redirection doesn't work because he's always so excited that he isn't in the headspace to learn cues. It's hard to tire him out because he pulls on the leash and his play style with other dogs is not aggressive, but he's a bit too much for them. He prefers UFC over a fun game of chase. Recently, I recommended using 1 minute timeouts every time he gets mouthy, but this would be nonstop because his go-to move is putting his mouth on you. Calming treats and supplements haven't put a dent in it, although I don't think we've explored medication. The rescue has started with a local positive reinforcement trainer, but progress is slow. A lot of these issues would be easier to handle in a 40 to 50 pound dog, but his sheer size makes it very difficult. He's basically a lovable, goofy meatball with zero manners. We put several months of work into this boy and we're committed to seeing him through to a happy life. Any recommendations? Thanks so much, Katie. Katie, I'm hoping that you've already gotten this guy home, but let's just talk about this a little bit because I think a lot of people are probably going to hear this and say, wow, that sounds like my dog, or that sounds like a dog that I am familiar with. So the first thing I'm going to look at is, as you guys probably know by now, the very first thing I'm going to look at before any of the behavior and how to correct the behavior is looking at his nutrition and his gut health. It sounds like to me he is riding high, which means that adrenaline, cortisol levels could be really high. And so we want to start with the gut health to increase the production of serotonin to help offset that. So be sure we've got a good diet. When feeding, you need to make sure you're giving enrichment. I would find things that he has to put his mouth on. Maybe items that you can put food in, like recyclable paper or packing paper, something that he has to kind of rip apart and tear. It's a good way for him to use his paws, use his mouth in a way to get to his food. And that could satisfy that need. When you have a dog with this much energy and that type of play, we need to find an outlet. And this is where the Carl hack comes in. And the Carl hack is getting a big fake dog. And Melissa and Doug, it's a website, they carry these great dogs that we will use a lot with puppies, but you can also use it with adult dogs. So this Carl dog would be his outlet with that type of play. Since he can't find a live human or a live dog to play with him that way, he can get that out with Carl. And I would give him Carl anytime he is feeling worked up. And you may even want to leave it out for him to grab whenever he's feeling frustrated. Another thing is we look at that mouth. He really likes to use the mouth. So have toys that you can put in his mouth. Something that he can tug and really bite on. I love a jute tug. They oftentimes have handles on either side so that your hands are not involved in the actual part that the dog puts his mouth on. These are really good to use to help him get that mouthiness out as well. When I'm doing a dog, if I'm working with a dog who has this type of kind of impulse control, I am going to typically start with some type of pattern game, something to get his focus just right there. So an up and down pattern game would be a really good way to help him just get some focus. You're basically taking a treat, putting it on the ground in front of him. He goes to eat it. When he looks back up at your face, mark it with your verbal and immediately put another one down. For more information on that, you can check out our YouTube page and that will show you more on the up and down game. It's a great way to really get your dog just to focus and kind of take the world and make it smaller for him for a very small amount of time. So I will typically do an up and down pattern game for 10 to 30 seconds or 10 to 15 treats, whatever works best for you. Your dog has complete control over the focus on this. Your job is just to respond to him looking at you. Another really good one I like to use for dogs that are really jumpy and mouthy is to play a game of scatter, where I say scatter and I throw a bunch of little treats across the floor so that he has to go to the floor and start sniffing to find the treats. Over time, he'll hear the word scatter and will immediately start sniffing the ground. And sniffing is stress reducing, and they cannot be mouthing you when they're sniffing on the ground. And I also love the scatter for jumpy dogs. So if I have a dog who really likes to jump and I don't even want to deal with it, I'm going to go ahead and start playing the scatter game every single time I'm coming into a room where that dog is likely to jump on me. So those are the first few things that I'm doing. We want to make sure that we are giving him an outlet. We are making sure the gut health is in good shape. You can add in some L-theanine, which is helps a little bit with calming. That is just something that you can get at the just a regular drugstore. It's just a human version. You can do 100 milligrams a day. Be sure you talk to your veterinarian about, you know, adding any of these type of supplements. But, you know, calming treats, typically they will have L-theanine in them. They just don't have enough. Most calming treats have about 25 milligrams, and that's not going to touch an 80-pound dog. So adding in supplements such as L-theanine, some valerian root, can really help with some of that calmness. But when you're having a dog that really enjoys the whole rough housing thing, that Carl is going to be a lifesaver for you. And I would get one, you know, that they have a lab size. I would get something that big. You wouldn't want the small Jack Russell or Dachshund. You'd want to get like the lab dog. These are great. I'm telling you, I use it with my pup still, because sometimes Isabella doesn't want to play as rough as she wants to play. And sometimes I don't want to play that rough, which we're going to be talking about play here in just a few minutes. So I really do think that just giving yourself some kind of management skills, some management techniques like the Carl hack, you can do the scatter, the up and down, making sure the gut health is healthy. And then even if I'm acknowledging him for good behavior, I'm going to be a little bit calmer. You guys know how much energy I have. But even with a dog like this, instead of being like, oh, what a good boy, I might just give a simple good boy. And I'm going to toss the treat onto the ground so that he has to go down to get the treat. So his head has to go down to get the treat, which should help him be a little bit more in control. So I hope that answers enough of your question. Katie, let me know. Let me know how this dog is doing, if this dog has gotten home or what's happening. We love to hear about, you know, stories of these dogs that are in foster care that end up doing well and finding their forever home. So let us know. All right, so let's talk about play. You know, play is something that I think that when we look at play, we just consider the dog. You know, what does the dog like to play? Does he like to fetch? Does he like to chase? Does he like to wrestle? Well, that can be fun for the dog, but what's fun for you and the dog? I think that we don't talk about that interactive play between human and dog enough. And I don't think we're having as much fun with our dog as we need to. Ask yourself a question. When's the last time you were interacting with your dog where you were having so much joy, you almost had this almost uncontrollable laughter, or everything your dog did just made you giggle and just brought you so much joy? And then think about what it was your dog's face during that as he's watching you have fun with him. I think we just get too many, you know, too much stress gets in our life and we forget to have fun. And I really want you guys to focus on having fun for yourself, making sure your dog is having fun, but find things that you and your dog can do together that is fun for you. It's going to really help with your bonding. It will help with focus and response. I will often play with my dog playing tug And during tug, when it's really, you know, exciting and fun, I might ask her to drop the tug or a quick sit, just something to teach her that responses are sometimes needed in that high arousal moment, but also just to help her stay in the moment and not thinking about what's outside of that moment, which may be what's happening in the rest of the yard or just in my environment. So, you know, when you're working with your dog and playing with your dog, there are going to be different things that you enjoy and different things your dog enjoys, but you need to find that enjoyment together, right? If you love to throw a frisbee, but your dog doesn't care to bring it back, well, then see if you can find a compromise. Have two frisbees. Throw the frisbee. That dog maybe wants to chase with that, so then you chase him. And then whenever he drops it, you throw the next frisbee. And maybe that initiates another chase game. Or maybe you grab the frisbee and then have your dog chase you. It doesn't always have to be a, you know, fetch this, bring it back, drop it, fetch this, bring it back, drop it, fetch this, bring it back, drop it. That is going to be boring for everyone. Granted, your dog may enjoy it that often, but we don't recommend doing it over and over and over again because we don't want to create any type of OCD issue with fetch. But there are ways that you can play some fetch, play some chase, play some keep away, do some things that are really enjoyable for both you and your dog. Not you sitting there on your phone and then tossing the ball when the dog brings it and drops it. And then you toss the ball and then you're looking at your phone. Dog brings it, drops it. You look at him, go, you're a good boy. You pick up the ball and you throw it and you're looking at your phone. That is not doing things with your dog. We've got to stop making a point to go play with our dogs, but then be distracted by the phone, by whatever we need to do later, whatever it may be. Just take 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Your dog would be so thrilled if you took 15 minutes where there is absolutely nothing else that is getting your attention for that 15 minutes but your dog. And I'm not talking about training to where your dog is responding to your commands. I'm talking about you and your dog having fun. Fun. Fun, fun, fun. And it's going to look different with every relationship. And it may even look different with each dog in your household, right? So find what your dog really enjoys and what will make you happy and try to find that compromise. I'm not saying that you can't go throw the ball for your dog while you're on the phone. That's fine. But we need to make a point to give our dog our full attention. And truly, we need to learn to do that with the people in our lives, with our partners, with just life in general. I get so tired of going and hanging out with friends and their phone, it can't be put down for more than 2 minutes before they're picking it up and doing something. And I just feel like every time that I'm with those type of friends, they're not really there. They're not there to have any interaction with me. Maybe they're there to say they did it, but there's nothing that's being given back and forth. So please be conscious about the time you're spending with your dog. Even if it's just a walk, and if you enjoy walking and your dog enjoys walking, y'all should do that together. Not you listening to this podcast while you're walking your dog. I want you to listen to the podcast, obviously, but I want you to give your dog the attention your dog deserves. And if you don't feel like you want to give your dog that attention, then you need to ask a question of why not. Why is the relationship hurting right now? Have you not set the expectations you need to set? Have you not helped your dog learn the skills that would be beneficial for your relationship? Highly recommend, if you're not sure where to go with your dog in this relationship, our webinar, Path of Least Resistance, will help you to figure that out. Because I do think that we need to find our path of least resistance on building that relationship with the dog that we have in front of us and what our environment is giving us, what our time allows, what my preferences are, Right? So you need to ensure that you're both getting what you need, but you're both there in the moment together sharing something. I hope this gets you thinking about, you know, what you and your dog can do together and what you might be missing out as far as that relationship. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is, I don't know if you guys have been seeing this video that's been going around social media where this dog is in a group of dogs and there's some altercations taking place, and this dog just comes from across the yard and is stopping the bad behavior immediately, like walking in and just being a badass. I'm just going to say it. And a lot of balance trainers that believe in the alpha dominance theory are now trying to use that video to say that, see, it's true. Look at this dominant alpha dog coming in to handle behavior. Okay, so I've had a couple of people reach out to me and ask my opinion on this. I will try to find a link to put in the show notes on this video so you guys can go and watch it. I think that this dog has great confidence, has beautiful communication skills, doesn't go overboard, handles things with the least amount of external behavior, basically only does what he has to do. And that's what makes this dog so successful, because the confidence, the efficiency of it, and the follow through. But at not one time does this dog bite another dog, grab the dog by the back of the scruff and shake it. Nothing like that. The dog is using natural calming signals, mostly the split up, to control conflict. So, I'm going to say dogs don't use the corrections that balanced and aversive trainers love to tell you, right? Nobody's grabbing the scruff and shaking or, you know, holding onto the muzzle. No one's, you know, shocking the dog 400 times, right? No other dog is correcting in that way. So I do think it's a very phenomenal video. I do think this poor dog shouldn't be responsible for that much control. They need a human to come in and kind of help out. And if, you know, the altercations continue happening between one and two dogs, then we need to consider those dogs need to be separated, not just continually escalating their altercations in hopes that this dog comes in and controls things. So I don't necessarily think it's a great thing that we allow dogs to do it over and over again. But hey, if I got a dog like this who can control a pack of dogs with the least amount of external behavior, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. So I just think a lot of dogs don't have that type of confidence or the ability to even practice that natural skill. Because I think we as humans, we tend to get involved a little too often, a little too quickly. And then we either get involved way too quickly or we don't get involved at all. We have a hard time finding that balance and that middle ground. And that truly is just going to be, different. That middle ground is going to look different based on, the dogs you have in the area, which dog is trying to control the environment and that. So there's just a lot of little factors that go into it. But yeah, it's a really cool video. I will say, I think it's kind of neat. But that's what I got this week. Just kind of wanted to get on, throw some things out here for you guys, answer the listener question that we had, and talk a little bit about play. And I want you to get out and play with your dog, find out what your dog likes, enjoy it. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter so you don't miss out on things. And if you're local to Middle Tennessee, you must be on the newsletter, because you will find out about the new services that we are going to be offering here soon. And you'll be the first to know about it and the first to sign up, because there will be limited slots available. But I will tell you, it has to do with enrichment and play and fun and off leash. Good times. I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode. Please do follow us on social media if you want to see some great videos. Posted a really good one today of Will playing in her, well, it's supposed to be a pool, but it's way too small. Playing in her, we'll call it a little pool with some plastic balls in there that I put her kibble in, and she really had to sniff out. And the video on Instagram, if you just listen, the sound of her sniffing is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And be sure that you follow, because we will be launching a new course on scent training and how to get started. So it's going to be an introduction to scent work. You're not going to want to miss that. So be sure that you follow us on all social media, newsletter, so that you don't miss out on anything that we have to offer, because we know that you want to be a Dog Speak Geek, and we want you to be a Dog Speak Geek. All right, send me any questions that you guys have. Love you. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week.